Right now, a group of hydroelectric dams on the Connecticut River are undergoing a once-in-a-generation process, a federal relicensing. NHPR's Annie Ropeek went to the dams and talked with people who live, work, and play nearby about what they hope might change.
Steve Stocking has farmed the banks of the Connecticut River in Fairleigh, Vermont for 50 years. He took me to the edge of his cornfields in early May to see the river and what he feels nearby dams have done to his land.
The slope falls down, especially when it soaks up with water from high levels, and then it runs out quickly, and it weakens the support, and it sloughs down.
Down here, we can see where the water has carved away the muddy banks. Now, rivers do cause erosion, but Stocking says the dams constantly raise and lower the water level more than is natural. And he thinks that's caused erosion 85 feet since he came here.
To sit here and watch land that you pay taxes on and that you could grow corn on or crops on be sloughing off into the river, you know, I don't know what to tell you if we would have, you know, bought it, but it's what we did.
Stocking's farm is 18 miles upriver from Wilder Dam near Dartmouth College. Stocking and others want to have a say in how much water the dam pulls down the river every day.
And, you know, we'll have our chance now, and then there won't be another chance for another 50 years.
This is Kathy Erfer with the Connecticut River Conservancy. She says this is a unique moment. Great River Hydro, the company that owns Wilder Dam and others, is seeking new federal licenses for three of its facilities. These permits are decades long, and Erfer says they spell out exactly how the dams will operate. Here at Wilder Dam, we can see those operations in action.
And you can look upstream, and there is a pretty calm pool of water that looks like a lake. And then if you look downstream, and you might be able to hear the water flowing, what you see is the water coming through the dam. You know, there's basically like white water below the dam that then is flowing down.
As that water flows, it runs through turbines that create electricity. Great River Hydro holds back some or all of the river's flow every day until the time is right to sell power. Then they open the floodgates. Further south is Bellows Falls Dam, another that's up for relicensing. Kathy Erfer shows me how excess spring meltwater is rushing through a channel on the side of the dam called a bypass.
You know, one of the things that we would like to see is water in this bypass all the time, right? And basically restoring the habitat here in this section of the river.
Erfer wants more protections for fish and mussels at the dams and in their flow rates. She also wants people to have better access to the river. Right now, the dams are kind of foreboding. We keep passing warning signs as we walk around Bellows Falls.
So the sign says, warning, changing water levels. Be constantly alert for water level increases. Water upstream may be released at any time.
People who are into whitewater paddling think this area could be made just safe enough to be really fun. They even had Great River Hydro do an official study where the dam released different amounts of water and paddlers tested them out. John Raganese is in charge of this whole process for Great River Hydro. He says he's here to work with everyone the dams affect, but his company and others disagree with those who say the dams are causing widespread erosion on the Connecticut. Raganese says that's based on a misconception about how much the dams control the river. He says they can adjust the water level right at the dam, but you wouldn't see the same fluctuations miles upstream.
We cannot control the flow. The flow is what the flow is. We just take advantage of the flow.
Still, some groups want Great River Hydro to put money in a fund to fix erosion. They've done that for other dams, but Raganese wouldn't comment on whether that'll be part of this relicensing process. No matter what, he says, they need to preserve the dam's flexibility, because these are the kind of plants that have to kick on fast if there's a problem elsewhere in the electric system.
Our mandate is larger than how can we extract the highest amount of dollars from the water? We have a responsibility. That's why we have the license to provide a power resource that is needed to the New England grid.
This is my first paddle of the year. It feels like I just got out of the boat last fall.
Norm Sims is an avid paddler who works on relicensing for the Appalachian Mountain Club as a volunteer. He took me canoeing recently just below Vernon Dam, the last Great River hydro facility on the New Hampshire-Vermont border that's up for relicensing. We're in a 100-year-old wood and canvas canoe. Sims is a collector. And it's a beautiful, sunny day for a paddle. We glide past bucolic scenery, islands, and secret waterfalls. Sims keeps getting distracted by birds. And at first, it's easygoing. We're paddling with the current and the wind. But then the river starts to push back.
So you notice how it feels like we're not moving very fast? We may be entering the backwater from the Turner's Falls Dam. Which would be disappointing because we have miles to go before we sleep. Yeah.
When the next dam down isn't running, the water above it turns flat, which makes paddling harder. Still, Sims doesn't feel the dams are an obstacle to enjoying the river. In relicensing, he's working on improving routes for boaters to carry their vessels around the dams. And he's excited about the idea of new whitewater at Bellows Falls. He says he values the electricity the dams generate, but...
This is our river, and it's our water. They don't own it. But they use it to create profits for their business. And what we're talking about in relicensing is that they pay a little rent on their fuel. And, you know, generally they know they're going to do that.
Relicensing for these dams has been going on since 2012. Federal regulators are expected to keep evaluating the studies and proposals involved through at least 2019. For NHPR News, I'm Annie Ropeek.